God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, so let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. So it was this, the top story, the debate. What's the top story in heaven? What is it? The debate? I can't imagine it's the debate. I think it's still the fact that redemption is ours for free through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. I believe that will be the top story until that's no longer the top story. And the top story at that time will be, you have made your decision. Welcome to eternity. We must keep things in proper perspective. I said Thursday that I wasn't excited for the debate. And then as I talked about it on the program, I became excited for the debate. And part of it was, I feel like there was a victory for reality. Now, I've been at this all morning. Actually, I did 2 hours of podcasting this morning. So I've been talking about this, and I'm just struck by something. I have in my mind's eye a discussion at the White House about medicalizing Biden. And I firmly believe, and I've been saying this for a long time. I wasn't a Johnny come lately on this. I've been saying for a long time that it appears to me from time to time they shoot him up with whatever, Adderall, B16, or B12, what have you. And I frankly wouldn't put cocaine past them. They're a party willing to do anything. And I had this, let's just vision, as it were, of something happening in the White House where someone told Biden, they think you take drugs. Now, this is complete supposition, but it's sort of an entertaining kind of thing to imagine. Because Biden lives in an info bubble. He is clearly, sadly mentally declined. He last night was shocked when President Trump said the Very Fine People hoax, that's now been completely debunked, completely destroyed. Biden had a truly shocked look on his face, looking over at the moderators as if you're going to let him get away with this. Yes, because in the past week, Snopes finally admitted it never happened. CNN admitted. New York Times admitted. Everybody's admitted it never happened. But Biden's face was stuck in a six-year-ago bubble saying, wait, this didn't. He still thinks it happened. So he's in this info bubble on purpose because they only want him to do what he's supposed to do. He is being run. Your job, Joe, is to go read this statement, say this thing, stand here because you are a chess piece. You are a figurehead. You are a human chess piece for whoever's running things behind the scenes. My bet is Barack Obama and Susan Rice and the Clinton family running things. That's my bet. Funded by Soros. That's my bet. Someone told him. Imagine someone going to him and saying, Joe, they think you're on drugs. I actually could see it happening in a family argument between Hunter and himself. Well, Dad, they think you're on drugs. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I could see Biden saying, no, I'm not taking it. I don't need the drugs to go debate this Mitt Romney character. Right? Or someone who did not want this guy to be the standard bearer did not give him his drugs. And we saw the results. Those of us who watched it saw it. I didn't watch it live time because I was actually called in to minister to a colleague in media, young woman, who has been canceled. She was very successful on YouTube. She had almost 2 million followers. She's been canceled. Her dad is a friend of mine in becoming a very good friend. I'd only met her once. So I chose to do the ministering, and I got so much out of it. So nice. So I watched it this morning. So a little bit busy on this show. This is inside radio stuff. I forgot to put an audio cue down for this. So I'm simply going to say that Biden ended this disastrous evening the way he started it. Would you play the first clip, please, Randy?
Get rid of the ability of Medicare to for the ability to for the us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
If you watch this exchange, I truly believe Trump was not making a political point. I think he was making a human point. I don't know what he said. I don't think he knows what he said. It didn't even come across as a political shot. It didn't need to. Understand that there are people who saw this debate, and this is the first time they've ever seen Biden in cognitive decline. First time. They have never seen any of the Twitter clips you've seen. They've never heard any of the radio you've heard. This is the first time they saw this. So, of course, there's the shock. At one point, President Trump seemed to sincerely have no idea what Biden was mumbling about.
President Biden, you would be 86 at the end of your...
Wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare to, for the ability to, for the us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either.
That's the full statement. And I'm saying, I legitimately do not think that was President Trump punching him politically. I think it was a polite thing. I really don't know what he meant. I don't think he does. Reality won. This has been Joe Biden for the past 3 years. It's going to get worse. Now, think of this. They had to dispatch Kamala Harris to go clean things up. I didn't have time to pull sound bites, but just imagine. Vice President Harris, lots of pushback on President Biden's performance last night. People called it stalling and hard, and some people even referred to dementia. What's your response? God help us. God told us that there in the end times, good would be called evil and evil would be called good. I don't remember him saying your bosses are going to be clearly mentally incompetent. But then again, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Joe Biden addressed concerns about his, supposedly about his old age, by citing his 50-year career in politics.
President Biden, you would be 86 at the end of your second term. How do you address concerns about your capability to handle the toughest job in the world well into your 80s?
Well, first of all, I spent half my career being criticized as being the youngest person in politics. I was the second youngest person ever elected to the United States Senate, and now I'm the oldest. This guy's 3 years younger and a lot less competent. I think that just look at the record. Look at what I've done. Look how I've turned around the horrible situation he left me. As I said, 15 million new jobs, 800,000 manufacturing jobs, more investment in America, over billions of dollars in private investment in enterprises that we are growing. By the way, we brought off a lot of people. The whole idea.
Did you hear just before he said the whole idea? I don't know what he said, but it sounded like we bought off a lot of people. Yeah. Oh, you did. His response to you are going to be 86 is, I was once the youngest man in the Senate. And people look at that and go, wow. You really, really are ancient. It's not the age. One of my dearest friends is 76 years of age. He is far more mentally crisp than me. He is far more astute. 76. He's cared for himself. And he's not loaded himself down under the weight of graft and lies. Think of the sin that Joe Biden chooses to carry. He can't take it to the cross. He evidently, self-evident, has no relationship to the Lord Jesus. So he can pray, I guess. Yes, he can. But it's so clear that he has walked away from his faith. I know no one can snatch us from the Lord Jesus' hands. I know this. But the fact is, I doubt this man's ever been an actual Christian. Do you doubt it? The Lord knows. Lord's the judge. We aren't. Provoked by President Trump, Joe Biden broke from Democrat talking points on abortion.
Again, the governor, former governor of Virginia, put the baby down, then we decide what to do with it. So he's willing to, as we say, rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month and kill the baby. Nobody wants that to happen, Democrat or Republican. Nobody wants it to happen.
You're lying. That is simply not true. The Roe v. Wade does not provide for that. That's not the circumstance. Only if a woman's life is in danger, she's going to die. That's the only circumstance in which that can happen. But we are not for late-term abortion, period. Period, period.
Under Roe v. Wade, you have late-term abortion. You can do whatever you want, depending on the state. You can do whatever you want. We don't think that's a good thing. We think it's a radical thing. We think the Democrats are the radicals, not the Republicans.
Terry McAuliffe said that. It was during a radio interview. There's video of it. They were asking, should there be any limit on abortion? No. What about if the baby's born and may not survive? Should the baby receive help? No. That should be between the doctor and the woman. I mean, he said it. And then in Maryland, there was an effort, a legitimate effort, to put into law a bill that would have allowed parents to have regret when they got home. Gosh, we never should have been parents. Let's not feed the baby. That was, they legitimately tried that. When there is no God, all things are allowed. That's what you're signing up for. If you do not accept the God of the Bible and the morality therein, here's what you're saying. I prefer the person with the most guns makes the rules. That's what you're saying. Or the most money. That's what I prefer. Oh, so you prefer chaos. You prefer rule by power, rule by threat, rule by force. Okay. You may not like the person who comes along with the more force next time. We're seeing a demented force, a force under the weight of massive sin. This was a very smart thing President Trump did. This was a very good move, and I believe he's sincere. President Trump says he wishes Joe Biden had been a great president.
And I'll tell you something. I wish he was a great president because I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be at one of my many places enjoying myself. I wouldn't be under indictment because I wouldn't have been his political appointment, you know, opponent, because he indicted me because I was his opponent. I wish he was a great president. I would rather have that. I wouldn't be here. I don't mind being here. But the only reason I'm here is he's so bad as a president that I'm going to make America great again. We're going to make America great again. We're a failing nation right now. We're a seriously failing nation. And we're a failing nation because of him. His policies are so bad.
That line of speaking really provoked me. In fact, the Holy Spirit called me out. Absolutely convicted me. I was coming home from meeting with my friends, Dirk is father, Nikki is the daughter. And they came over to my podcast and studio, which is down the hill from the house. And we had this discussion. I was going home. I turned on the radio and was listening to the coverage. And then I got up this morning and watched the debate, but headed home. And as I got in the car, I heard President Trump saying that. And it came across as absolutely genuine. And the Holy Spirit said to me, do you wish he was a good president? No. I hate him. Oh. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to love your enemies. Convicted. This happens with me with the figurehead. I have to constantly remind myself that he was created by God, is loved by God. But then the Holy Spirit convicted me of you. You've never really prayed for him to be a great president. You wanted him to fail. Well, I wanted him to fail at his agenda to destroy the country. That I wanted to fail. But hey, would you pray for him to be a great president? Would you? Only in words. Maybe the Holy Spirit will change me if I really let him. Continue to change me, that is. Praise God, he's already changed me. We'll come back with more from the debate. Might get into some significant religious issues on Christianity and defense thereof. That might wait till Monday. We'll see where we go. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We get to discuss this debate with God at the center. And this is one of the really, really important reasons that your monthly donations to AFR matter so much, because people will tune into radio, live radio, in a way that they will not to podcasts. It's happenstantial listening. So people jump into a car, they're with grandma, they're with grandpa, they're with their parents, they're in a rental car, they're borrowing a friend's car. And they hear AFR, they hear a discussion about the debates, and perhaps they think, okay, this guy's got an interesting take on this, I'll listen. And then that person happens to mention God Almighty and God's view of the top story and the weight of sin. God's word never returns void. So there will be people who will hear this courtesy of your monthly donations at AFR.net, and they'll hear news and God wrapped together for the first time. And it may cause them to stop and think, right, God, where am I with that? We'll talk next week, I hope. I'm putting together a segment on this, on people who continue to insist they can think their way to God. Can't be done. You can think your way to understanding the Bible and theology. You can understand the history of the Bible, but you cannot think your way to walking with the Lord. You can only walk your way to walking with the Lord. We'll get back to that with that next week. We'll make the focus on that sometime next week. We've got a short week, but we'll try to make that a focus. One thing before we get to more from the debates is, and this is to set the stage for the stakes of the game. The fakery of Joe Biden as leader has been clear to a lot of us for a long time, but the fakery of so much in the ruling class is being peeled away, praise God for this, just as he did when the Lord Jesus was crucified, the temple curtain dropped. And I think the Lord was saying, no longer is there a barrier between us. My son has died for the forgiveness of sins for many. He's going to rise again. I'm tearing this curtain down. This is imagery. Now you can come into the temple anytime. Just accept my son as Lord and Savior. The kingdom of heaven will dwell within you. And suddenly many people saw the absolute absence of morality or faith or justice or mercy in the religious technocrats of the time. It was peeled away for a lot of people. So it is with DC. So it is with our power structure. So it is with our empty, absolutely craven for power bosses of the country. Example, Christopher Rufo, forgive me, to whom Dr. Ethan Hame went to blow the whistle on Texas Children's Hospital, which was continuing to medically and surgically destroy the bodies of children with wrong sex hormones illegally. He blew the whistle that they were breaking the law, and the federal government went after him. They rolled heavy to his house, armed agents. He is facing 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine. Now there's this, speaking of the fraud, this is the stakes of the game. This is one of the reasons why this election matters so much and why we shouldn't be surprised that they put up this mentally decrepit, just crushed under the weight of sin, Joe Biden. Listen to this. This is Rufo. According to a letter written by Hame's lawyer, Ethan Hame, the whistleblowing doctor, Assistant U.S. Attorney Tina Ansari admitted she hadn't reviewed the purported evidence against Dr. Hame and was instead relying on what the FBI agents told her. In the same discussion, Ansari insisted that the documents Hame sent to Rufo included children's names, but nothing in the documents Rufo saw identified any individuals. All were redacted. The prosecutor then asked Dr. Hame to admit wrongdoing, telling him he should apologize to the families of the children who received so-called transgender medical interventions at Texas Christian's Hospital if he wanted her to help him avoid a felony prosecution. When this failed, Ansari intimated that the families would sue if she didn't bring criminal charges. Those are Hame's lawyers in a piece in the City Journal by Rufo. That's the stakes of the game. A prosecutor threatening a man with 10 years in prison, having not taken the time to look at the supposed evidence. We saw evidence last night. of what we've seen many of us for now 3 years. Joe Biden is mentally decrepit. It's sad. It's a reality. He's not running anything. It's clear he can't run anything. We watched it. Many people saw it for the first time. Many people for the first time heard exchanges like this about the border, because many people choose, like Joe Biden, to live in an info bubble. President Trump pressed Biden on the terrible border policies that are destroying the country.
Did you fire anybody? Did you fire anybody that's on the border that's allowed us to have the worst border in the history of the world? Did anybody get fired for allowing 18 million people, many from prisons, many from mental institutions? Did you fire anybody that allowed our country to be destroyed? Joe, our country is being destroyed as you and I sit up here and waste a lot of time on this debate. This shouldn't be a debate. He is the worst president. He just said about me because I said it. But look, he's the worst president in the history of our country. He's destroyed our country.
At one point during the debate, and I don't know that we have the soundbite, and I wish we did, President Trump, we're talking on the topic of the border, and figurehead Biden said this. This is almost a direct quote. This young woman is killed by a migrant. He went to the funeral. Women are raped by their family members and fathers and stepfathers and their cousins, and you can't do anything about it. And for him to blame, anyway. Number one, the figurehead called out the fact that President Trump went to the funeral for a girl who was raped and murdered by an illegal immigrant. An illegal immigrant allowed into the country, discovered to be in the country, identified as a criminal, not just for breaking into the country, but a bad person, a rapist, murderer type from back in his actual country. Instead of slamming him into a jail cell and taking him and sending him back, they said, it's all good. You can go about your business. And his business became tracking down young women, raping them and killing them. And Biden's response, and I'm sorry I don't have it. I know I had it in my podcast, but was that. It was, he went to the funeral. And women are raped by family members. Pardon me. Ashley Biden, we spoke about the weight of sin. This is one of the reasons I struggle to love Joe Biden. I really struggle. I really hurt for Ashley Biden. I've worked a lot with women who survived sexual assault. And girls. I still do. She has all the signs. All of them. Yeah, I know. She gave a statement on behalf of Biden. I saw that too. I also read her diary. And I've looked at the problems she's had in her life. Biden is so empty that his attempt to score points in the wake of a whole series of illegal immigrants tracking down women, beating them and murdering them, women and girls, is to say, you can't do anything about it. Women get raped by family members. They do. You can do something about it. We could have a more godly society. We could realize that when there is nothing is forbidden, all is allowed. We could realize that when you puff up human leadership to the point where it becomes godlike, what you've done is puffed up human greed, brokenness, and a sin nature into a godlike status. You're right back to where we talked about this in the last segment. People who reject God's leadership and the God of the Bible and that as the moral compass, here's what they're saying. I prefer the leadership of people's moods. I prefer to have a country led by people's sin problems, moods, anger. That's what they're saying. Or ruled in the background as a demented old man stands and is now firmly shown to be, in reality, someone not capable of leading anything. On my drive home from getting to minister to my friends, and frankly being ministered to, it was a great exchange to talk with this colleague, this young woman who's been canceled by YouTube and trying to figure out what's next. And I was telling her, well, God's going to tell you what's next. And that we had a fun discussion about that and a good faith-affirming discussion. I was driving home and President Trump had said that really smart thing about, I wish he was a good president. I do. And then, then I found myself in the circumstance of listening to two men just, I mean, Trump, Donald Trump and Joe Biden argued over their golf game.
Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. The reason I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a six. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf with you if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a six handicap of all.
I was an eight handicap.
Yeah.
Eight. Take a look at what he is. Look, I'd be happy to have a driving contest with him. The reason I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a six. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf with you if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a six handicap of all.
I was an eight handicap.
Yeah.
Eight.
Never.
But I have, you know how many?
I've seen you swing. I know you swing.
President Trump said, let's not act like children here. Now, I don't know a thing about golf. I have never played a round of golf. I have never, well, let me think about it. This is true. Maybe once when I was five or six, I held a golf club in my hand. So I know nothing about the game. I do know that a lower handicap means you're a better golfer, right? I think that's what it means. As I'm listening to this and I hear Biden say, I had a six handicap. You know what else he said? It was either him or Roger Staubach to be the quarterback at the Naval Academy, but he felt like Roger Staubach should get a shot. A kid needed a shot. You know, he kind of played ball. I didn't want him to sit on the... He put himself up as somehow comparable to one of the greatest NFL quarterbacks in history, Roger Staubach. So, no, I don't believe he had a six. Think you can carry your own bag? Can you walk upstairs? Man, it's difficult to not hate that man. Every time I get up a good hatred for him, the Holy Spirit convicts me. What are you doing? So you're going to take this AFR network, you've been given this insane privilege to steward this 1 hour, and you're going to go hate a man. Wow, good modeling, Todd. I hate what he's doing, what he's being caused to do. But that weight of that sin, that must be crushing. And we take it down to the level of a golf game. President Trump being the one to say, let's not act like children. It was beautiful politically. Trump called out the figurehead in the media for the fine people hoax, but the figurehead doubled down.
We're fine people. This is a guy who says Hitler's done some good things. I'd like to know what they are. The good things Hitler's done, that's what he said. This guy has no sense of American democracy.
President Trump.
Jake, both of you know that story has been totally wiped out because when you see the sentence, it said 100% exoneration on this. So he just keeps it going. He says he ran because of Charlottesville. He didn't run because of Charlottesville. He ran because it was his last chance. He's not equipped to be president. You know it, and I know it. It's ridiculous. We have a debate. We're trying to justify his presidency. His presidency, he's without question, the worst president, the worst presidency in the history of our country. We shouldn't be having a debate about it. There's nothing to debate. He made up the Charlottesville story, and you'll see it's debunked all over the place. Every reasonable anchor has debunked it. And just the other day, it came out where it was fully debunked. It's a nonsense story. He knows that. And he didn't run because of Charlottesville. He used that as an excuse to run.
President Biden.
And debunked. It happened. All you have to do is listen to what was said at the time. And the idea that somehow that's the only reason I ran. I ran because I was worried a guy like this guy could get elected. If he thought they were good people coming out of that forest, carrying those woods, carrying those torches, then he didn't deserve to be president at all. And the idea that he's talking about all this being fabricated. We saw with our own eyes. We saw what happened on January 6th. We saw the people breaking through the windows. We saw people occupying his own vice president. Look, there's a reason why 40 of his 44 top cabinet officers refused to endorse him this time. His vice president hasn't endorsed him this time. So why? Why? They know him well. They serve with him. Why are they not endorsing him?
Thank you, President Biden. We're going to be right.
When President Trump pointed out the fact that finally Snopes and CNN and the New York Times admit what we've known for 7 years, that President Trump did not say white supremacists were fine people. He said, in fact, I'm not talking about the white supremacists who should be condemned widely and broadly. Absolutely condemned. Biden's face when President Trump said the story had been utterly debunked was utter shock. It's not made up. It's not acting. He looked at the debate moderators as if to say, wait, you're not going to jump in here? That man's mind is locked in 6 years ago. We'll come back and get into the tire babbling. Also, some of the media response to the debate last night. Almost like they were ready to toss the figurehead ahead of time. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get into the Tower of Babbling and then a just brief discussion about this opportunity I had to minister to this young woman. I won't get into specifics because it's her story to tell, and she's relatively famous, I guess, YouTube-wise, a couple million followers. But it is indicative of something that happens in media, and I'll share that with you in the way I can, respectfully, for her privacy. D, we've been talking about the debate, and we've been talking about the fact that reality won. I really want us together to praise God for pulling down the curtain in our temple. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, the Lord pulled down the temple curtain. And I said earlier, I believe it was part of a signal that no longer do you need this intermediary. It's now you and me. You can come directly to me through the Lord Jesus, through my Son. So the pretense that the religious bureaucrats, technocrats of the time had been able to have, which is it's just us, and you're dirty and filthy, you can't have a relationship with God, but we can because we're very, very clean and have beautiful robes. That was gone. That was gone. And in our country, we have made the habit of making politics a temple. And I'm probably among the most guilty of this in the nation. Because of what I've been blessed to do, not just my morning show in Seattle and that footprint, but the time that I spent filling in on EIB, Excellence in Broadcasting with Rush Limbaugh, you know, 6 years of that, a couple hundred times, I mean, maybe 180 times with Rush, for him rather. And at that time, I was making politics an idol. I mean, yes, we spoke of God, we prayed before the show, we invoked God's word a little bit, but it was very much an idol. And when we do that and we make politics our temple, I think God is eventually going to obviously call us out on that. And I am thankful that he's tearing these curtains down. Janet Yellen said the other day, the Secretary of the Treasury, oh, what? No, groceries aren't expensive. They've gone up 300% on core items. They are expensive. The curtain's torn down because you have people on social media showing you their actual orders from Walmart 4 years ago. And there's a feature at Walmart.com where you can just buy the whole order again, showing you this cost $126 4 years ago. It costs $450 today. Same products, same amounts. God's tearing the curtain down. The curtain last night was torn down for a bunch of people going, wait, Joe Biden's slow? Oh my gosh, it sounds like he suddenly got dementia over the weekend. The curtain being torn down. The curtain was torn down during the politically motivated, medically useless COVID lockdowns when kids were forced to attend what some people still call school from home. And there are some great government schools, and there are some great government school teachers. There are great private school teachers, but so much of it is sexual indoctrination that God tore the curtain down. You had parents at home going, "You wait, hold it a second. What? Young lady, what are you listening to? You know you're not to have that filth at home. How did you get on that? We've got porn blockers at home." No, this is school, Mom. This is school. God just ripping the curtain down. The great temple of, but the public schools are for the public and everybody loves the kids, tearing the curtain down. The COVID response. Wait, they knew this stuff harmed us? They knew it didn't stop infection and they still had us take it? Tearing the curtain down. The Lord saying, this has become your temple. I'll tear it down. I'll show you what's behind it. I will show you human wisdom in all its splendor. I will show you the people you've been worshiping instead of worshiping me. Take a look. This is it. How does it look to you? And it's a sample. Someone said to me once, and I wish I remembered who, that when we go to heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, sin is gone. It does not exist. It will never come back. It cannot. So we live for eternity absent sin, hatred, jealousy, coveting. It's not there, none of it. It's in hell exclusively. True love, godly love, multiplies itself in potency and power. Eternity with an ever multiplying love for the Lord Jesus. And him for us, or eternity with ever multiplying sin. Praise God for tearing the temple down. Now, personally, I believe that the media was locked and loaded and ready to depart the figurehead. I think they probably had talking points ready for this, but I don't know, and I don't want to share false witness. That's me just imagining. Immediately after the debate, MSNBC's Nicole Wallace implied conversations are taking place to remove the figurehead Biden.
And there is a conversation happening inside Biden's circle, and certainly a much more frank conversation happening inside the Democratic coalition. And I think there will be stories of a lot of concern about the performance tonight. And I think what...
When you say conversations happening, what do you mean?
I think people are talking. I think the conversations range from whether he should be in this race tomorrow morning to what was wrong with him. I mean, he has a cold.
He has a cold. Yes, that's what was wrong with him. Okay. CNN also reported that the figurehead may no longer be useful.
That right now, as we speak, there is a deep, a wide, and a very aggressive panic in the Democratic Party. It started minutes into the debate, and it continues right now. It involves party strategists. It involves elected officials. It involves fundraisers. And they're having conversations about the president's performance, which they think was dismal, which they think will hurt other people down the party in the ticket. And they're having conversations about what they should do about it. Some of those conversations include, should we go to the White House and ask the president to step aside? Other of the conversations are about, should prominent Democrats go public with that call? Because they feel this debate was so terrible. They do say, in moments in the debate later, the president got better and got his footing. But then at the end, even his closing statement was a little halting. The contrast between the two candidates. Let me be clear. None of them, and a lot of Republicans, don't think Donald Trump had a great night. Donald Trump broke the fact-check machine more than I can count.
The fact-check machine and CNN have no relationship to each other. Figurehead Biden standing there saying that, no, he said that Nazis are fine people was obviously, we just talked about that lie. Now, what's so interesting about this is Gavin Newsom has been running a shadow campaign. The utterly sociopathic governor of California, the dictator of California, has been running a shadow campaign. So I'll comment that in just a second, and we'll hurry up and get to the Tower of Babel. So much to discover today. But remember Gavin Newsom for a moment, okay? The illegal immigrant accused of raping a teenager in Houston was wearing an ankle monitor as he apparently raped this girl.
Right now, neither suspect seen in surveillance with Jocelyn before her death is eligible for the death penalty because of a quirk in the law. But that could change if the ongoing investigation reveals underlying crimes like sexual assault or kidnapping.
This victim was found, you know, bound and without clothing from the waist down in the water.
Jocelyn's mother says it's been a very difficult time, as you might imagine, but she appreciates the community's support from an online fundraiser to this vigil last Friday night.
She was a very special little girl that deserves her justice.
So that man was wearing an ankle bracelet, monitoring bracelet, while doing this. You will find out, because this is the case in all the separate countries like Washington and California. They wear the bracelets, but they're only monitored during working hours, 8 to 5. All the felons know this. Keep Gavin Newsom in mind. Keep Gavin Newsom in mind. That stuff's happening under the Biden regime, the people who run Joe Biden. Van Jones wants Biden switched out.
We're still far from our convention. And there is time for this party to figure out a different way forward if he will allow us to do that. But that was not what we needed from Joe Biden. And it's personally painful for a lot of people. It's not just panic. It's pain of what we saw tonight.
During his shadow campaign, the sociopathic dictator of California, Gavin Newsom, has recently become an immigration hawk. He recently went to the border in California and pretended that there were border guards being helped by California authorities. It's part of the play, the kabuki. God help this nation if Gavin Newsom is president. That's it. That's it. It'll be fully fallen. Oh, well, God will help this nation. The nation of people who have surrendered to him. Help us into the new heaven and the new earth eventually. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think prove the point, and yes, they are largely debate-oriented. It was a horrible night for Biden, a great night for reality.
Make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare.
Yeah, it was a bad night for the figurehead. Even Biden's clothes was horrible and accidentally truthful.
Wants to get away with, get rid of the ability of Medicare for us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies.
It was sad and truthful. God ripping the curtain down. You think this guy's running anything? The biggest sociopath in Democrat politics, Gavin Newsom, was there.
That's a non sequitur. I don't even understand the context of that. This is the President of the United States running for re-election. He's our guy. And that's part of the diversion tactic of the right to continue to sort of muddy the waters on all that and that nonsensical speculation. It's just like the absurdity of who's going to get an injection shot. I mean, this is farcical. It's serious stuff. Democracy, freedom, liberty, rights, and to see it trivialized as we're trivializing it, even having these conversations, is really distressing to me as an American citizen, not just as a Democrat.
Governor,
Gavin Newsom was responding to the demands that Biden take a drug test. President Trump said he would. Fine, I'll take a drug test. Biden wouldn't. I think someone got to Biden and said, hey, they think you're on drugs. I think he refused the drugs. I think he refused them that day. I think that the people around him said, the old man's not taking his meds. And he refused them too late for them to be put in his ice cream or for Dr. Jill, who's not a doctor, to administer them. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
On A Disciple's View.
I mentioned last night, I came into the studio to meet with some friends. I know my friend Dirk. I'm getting to know him better. His daughter, Nikki. And Nikki is YouTube famous, a couple million followers. And it's her story to tell. She's been public about it. It's not a hidden story at all. She got canceled. I just don't want to identify her further than that, given that we had a private conversation. And I was blessed to be able to try to minister to her when her dad here. And in this conversation, I want to thank God for something. I did not give her any advice. We shared as colleagues. She's less than half my age and far more famous on YouTube than me. We shared as colleagues. We shared some of the challenges of when, in her case, some people on the left went after her for a very horrible thing they accused her of. She didn't do. They're getting her canceled. Her money's gone. Her career's at risk. We shared what that's like because I've been there. But then God spoke into this. And I said to her, there must be some reason God gave you your charm, your thinking on your feet, your storytelling techniques, and forgive my boldness, your looks. There must be some reason God gave you these things. What is it? And she said, well, I don't know. I've never had a plan. I just do these things and it's just worked for me. Yes, it has worked for you. What is it that God wants you to do? I don't know. And I was able to tell her I didn't either until I read a very specific book called Experiencing God. It's a workbook. And I believe if you read that and do the work, I believe God's going to reveal to you exactly why he made you pretty and funny and engaging and charismatic, able to sing and write. Isn't that the thing you want to do, is to use this to steward these talents for God's glory? She had tears in her eyes and said, more than anything, I'm so glad God changed me. Otherwise, I would have tried to fix it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Until God decides you and I can visit again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.